Accession number 30402, Mr. Ken Austin, Reel 2. Now, we were talking about your time in London during the war. So how would you spend your time? You know, you're growing up there, you're going from, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, that sort of age. What would you do for recreations in London in that? Because it's a dodgy place to be.
Well,
and then in Emerson Park.
Well, I mean, say, in the wartime, or before the war, it was always gangs, right? I was in a gang of 11 youngsters, you know. And the fact was, I mean, so we didn't have none of this civil rights tripe or anything like that. But one of our chaps in the gang used to do shopping for an old lady. And then one day he went back to her and said, I can't buy because they've increased the prices. Well, he's never been in this lady's house. He's always got it from the front door. But this time she said, oh, come in and I'll give you the money. And he see where she kept her money. And like a fool, he went back and walloped her. Never killed her, but and he took her money. But the fact was that she could tell the police who he was and that. And he got 6 lashes as a cat. Now, when he came back and we see he's back, there was 11 people that didn't want no more to do with crime or anything else. So it cured 11 of us. One person getting the cat, getting justice for
was
what
it the he, birch?
Well, it was like a cat of nine tails, that we used to call it, like a birch. But one bloke getting that, for doing that, sort of cured us. So actually, it was justice dealt out, not in one foul swoop, but it cured 11 people of being a dodgy customers. Things like that. But I mean, say,
what would you do for amusement?
Pardon?
What would you and your gang do?
Well, I used to go to a local cinema. But that got bombed on a Saturday morning. The only morning I never went, and it got bombed. A load of children got killed, and that. There wasn't a lot else to do, really. You only just played like with hopscotch or skipping in the road or something like that.
Did you play any sport?
Pardon?
Any sport?
No, there was no fields or anything like that in London. I mean, so even the schools only had like a little playground in the centre court sort of thing. No football or netball or hockey or anything you like in London. It was different when they come out to Hornchurch. But at the same time in London, like during the Blitz, and the Queen and the late King came down. I've got a newspaper here, comes out saying, and I was standing, because my dad used to have to pick up bodies. He had on his lorry the night before, he had these body bags, and he said to me, they've got a roadblock up. I was a roadblock. You stay there while I go. And at that time, the King and the Queen came along inspecting the place. And that's when she spoke to me, you know, said, was you frightened or did it? You know, was you scared and all that? And I remember the time, the King wandered along some rubble and he nearly fell over, and she turned round and she told him off for wandering off on his own in case he fell over and hurt himself. I remember that. And I met her because I'd done a lot of poppy things since. And I met her a few times, and I've always had a chat with her. She must have a terrific memory. And I got her hand the last time I see her, and I said to her, I said, ma'am, I think this is the last time we're going to meet. And she said, yes. I said, and she died 3-4 months after. But she was such a nice woman to talk to. And I told her, I said to her, I said, after you spoke, I said, when I grow up, I told my mates, I said, when I grow up, I'm going to take the King and Queen out to see at Lion's Corner House. And she turned to the lady in waiting and she said, you know, me and, forget what she called him, we would have enjoyed that with you, she said. But she was such a nice woman.
Now, so, what about, you left school at 14, I presume, before the war finished then?
Yeah, I came up to Hornchurch. I went to, I was a junior school for a couple of months, and then I went up to a senior school. It was still the same. You were still, because you hadn't learnt a lot, you were still put in the bottom class, and you never had nobody. I don't think I could ever remember having a spelling lesson or writing lesson or anything like that. So really, everything I've had to learn myself. So, left school.
What were you going to work as?
Well, I started off as an apprentice plumber.
Now, who chose that, you or your parents?
Well, my dad and myself, we decided what to do. But the thing is, he knew somebody who had a business. But the thing is, it didn't last long as an apprentice plumber because there was no material to do plumbing.
No copper or lead or...
So the firm had to pack up. So I had to leave and I joined the railway.
So how long have you been an apprentice plumber from?
Well, must have been a year, a couple of years though.
So 45
I learnt a lot of stuff on it, you know.
Did you enjoy it while it lasted?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because a lot of the work I'd done was lead work and roof work, where a lot of buildings up the West End and that got damaged with shrapnel. So that, all the lead roofing and all that stuff. And then I had a couple of jobs on railway roofs. And then a couple of... There wasn't much building. A lot of it was being knocked down stuff. But then there was a couple of buildings started. And we had, like, putting in sinks, toilets, bathrooms and stuff like that. So that was all there was.
So you're working as a plumber... When the war came to an end, do you remember V Day, VJ Day? Were there any big parties?
Oh, yeah. You'd be
about 14, 15?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so all the goings on that went on, you know. But where we lived at Hornchurch, there wasn't nothing up at that end, more in London, you know.
What do you remember? Did you see any of the street parties? Were you there on V Day?
Oh, where was I on V Day? Can't remember now.
Okay. So, anyway, so you were working as a plumber till what, 47?
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
And then what happened? Because you had to give that up.
Well, the firm packed up.
So what were you going to do next then, when the firm went bust, or stopped?
Well, I joined the railway. I was a messenger boy at Stratford.
Now, what did it mean being a messenger boy?
Well, if the war was still on.
Hang on, 47?
No, when I joined the railway, when I left.
We've got it right. So you only did plumbing for a matter of months then?
Well,
because you left school at 14, that's January 45. There's only 4 months before VE Day.
Hold on, what did I do first? No, I must have been on the railway first, and then I left that, because then I got the job as a plumber, mate, after the war.
Right.
Because I know the war was still on when I was on the railway.
So what was it like working as a messenger boy?
Well, very dodgy, because overnight you have to go out, like if there was bad weather or a line... bombed or something like that, you had to go out and find different maintenance people or people to come take telegrams to them to come to work or come to that place. But then sometimes I was also sent to do signal box work. So one occasion at Stratford I was doing the signal box work, we had a really big chap as a signalman, and this train, massive great train, pulled in. The engine driver got out and come up to the signal box and said to the signalman that he's had instructions to leave the tank as a train there that night. There's got to be a new crew and that tomorrow to take it. you never believe this. The signalman said to him, oh, well, that's all right. That's all right, mate. What's on it? So he said, we're going to the American air base. He said, we've got all bombs and stuff like that on it. Well, I've never seen a man move so fast. He left the signal box and he was away, got his coat and out the door. So I'm left with the engine driver and myself in charge of a signal box. So I gets in touch with Liverpool Street and tells them what happened. You know what? I told him the signalman's gone. Nobody's there, only me. Do you know anything about it? I said, only a little bit. I know certain lines to change, I said. But I said, other than that, there's not a lot unless you give it instruction. No, he said, you know the two so-and-so line? I said, yeah. He said, would you have a look on the board and see if they're open? Because they had a board that tells you whether the line's like open or shut. And I looked and I said, yeah, they're open. So he said, right, leave them like that. He said, we'll have somebody come over and take over. He said, you do. And the train driver said, well, I'm tired. He said, I've been at it all day. I'm going home. So I sat in the box waiting for this other bloke to come. I always remember that. But then things on Stratford Station, you know, people getting hurt and things falling and that. I used to have the Red Cross box and do different things. That's about all.
But why did you leave that to go into the plumbing then?
Well, my dad then got in touch with this other chap because he said, you know, that my son was looking for a job. He's only working on a railway, wants to get experience. And this bloke said, well, I've got the business, I've got a plumber, if he'd like to join and sign up for an apprenticeship.
So it was a better career.
Oh, yeah,
it?
Well, it's something you would learn, you see.
So what did you do when you stopped being a plumber in 47 then?
Well, there was three of us, me and my mate, and another chap who's older. Now, the one a bit older, he got called up. So he went in the army.
He was a bit older than you then?
A bit older. And then weren't far after them that me and me mate were due to be called up. So rather than be called up and sent, we decided to join up. So we signed on for the army.
Now, how did you go about doing that?
Well, we went to Romford Place, where they recruited place in Romford. And we both signed on and told them what we wanted to do, because we wanted to get to the same regiment that our other mate was.
So which regiment did you ask for?
An armoured regiment, because he, at that time, it wasn't actually, it was the armoured brigade then.
So for the Royal Armoured Corps?
Royal Armoured Corps.
And what did it, so when was that? Do you know the date you joined them?
So, 48.
When about in 48?
October.
So, did you have any tests or anything to pass or anything to do to get into the Royal Armoured Corps?
Oh, yeah. You had to do different things, put stuff together and show your ability or what you could do. Well, me and me mate, he was also an electrician apprentice, electrical apprentice. So
you could do it.
Pardon?
What did your mum and dad think when you joined up?
Well, my dad, he said, son, you took the king's shilling. He said, now he owns you. He said, nothing to do with us.
So quite hard, not, you know. But
realistic.
And what about your mum? What did she think?
She was upset, but she wasn't that bad, she said, because the war was over, so she thought it would always be not a bad thing to be, you know.
So where did you have to go for your basic training?
Went to Catrick for the basic training.
Now, who do you know which training regiment you were with, or was it
just... Yeah, the 14th, 18th, I think it was something like that, 14th, 18th.
And that was their depot, was it?
Yeah, at the time, yeah.
So it's, and what you know, when you got down there, what, do you remember the trip down? Did you go with your friend?
Oh, yeah, on a train, yeah. Went down by train, yeah. Got off and went to Catrick. Met the usual nice people at the gate, you know.
Now, what was it? You know, we're quite interested in how you received, because you arrive as a civilian, you're going to be a regular.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How did they treat you when you walked in, you know?
Oh, not too bad, because you wasn't a national service. You was a regular. So you never went, like, with the national service people first. So you went to a different section in the training first to get your a uniform and all stuff like that.
Do you remember being kitted out? What were you kitted out with? What did they give you? Because it's all changed now, of course.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had your uniform, your webbing and all that type of stuff, a kit bag, and, like, stuff for mending clothes, and that's about all. Boots, gaiters and stuff like that. So normal army stuff just after the war.
Did it fit you?
Yeah, actually it did. Yeah, not too bad. I don't know what the wife's done. I've got a photo of, because
they wouldn't be able to see it anyway. We'll get some photographs off you later, yeah. Perhaps, you know. So you kitted it. And what about haircut? Did you have a haircut?
Yeah. Well, not, weren't all that bad. I mean, so, no, I never had a lot of big hair. When I always kept my hair cut, and so me's mate. So it didn't bother us that way, you know. That was all right.
Now, what was your barrack like? Was it a hut at the Catrick?
Huts. They were all huts.
Now, what were they like? Was it a Nissen hut? Or what was it like? How was it laid out?
Oh, no, it weren't too bad, actually. Quite good, you know. Quite clean, very clean, actually. Well, you had to keep it bloody clean.
How many beds in it, roughly?
Oh. Must be nearly 10 aside.
Was the corporal in there, or Lance Corporal, in there with you at the end?
Oh, yeah, they had a little place at the end, yeah.
And what about, did you have any locker space, footlocker locker?
Yeah, just a box locker at the side of the bed to put your stuff in. Or one end had these bigger square ones, and the other end, they had the tall lockers. So there were two different types then.
Depending which you got. And what about stove? Was there an old black, an old stove in there, or was it more modern?
No, there was not in that. There was no stoves in. I think it was all done by radiator type thing, you know.
Now, we look at a sort of a typical day training. It gets us the feel of the thing. I mean, there's no such thing. But what, and sort of spin off the thing. What day? What time would your day start? What was the morning? The first bit of the morning.
6 o'clock. Yeah. 6 o'clock in the morning was a reveille. Then you had to wash, get your equipment out. What were you doing today? Whether you was on fatigues or whether you was on manoeuvres or stuff, you had different kits for different things. You know, if you was on a parade, you had a parade suit. If you was on fatigues or stuff like that, you had a like denim stuff like that. But that was quite good because it kept you fit, because that we had some very long marches and stuff.
So you get up, and would you have breakfast before you start?
Oh, yeah. In the army, it's always compulsory. You must have something to eat, even drink, before you do anything. You wasn't allowed ever to do anything unless you had a cup of tea or a biscuit or something. You must have something.
Now, what was the army food like, as far as you were concerned, compared with home cooking and what your mum
did? No, it was all right. We had quite good up there. It wasn't too bad at all at Catrick. No.
It was the same sort of stuff as you were used to?
Well, only it was more regular, you know, on the timing. You know, you got it at certain times, or else if you weren't there, you didn't have it. But that wasn't too bad.
Was there enough of it?
Fun?
Enough of it? Enough of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Enough food, yeah. I mean, say, never spent a lot of money in a naffy. If you went in, you might have a wad, a cheesecake or a cup of tea, but you never bought loads of food because she was hungry or anything like that.
Now, after you'd had your breakfast, how might the training start on a typical day?
Well, that's it. You got back to the billet, put on the clothes what you were going to do, and then you went out and fell in outside, and whatever your section was doing at that day.
Well, let's look at some of the things you probably must have done. What about drill? How did you take to drill?
Drill was all right, but the only laughable about it is that, because we then met me mate there, who was there, and when he marched, he always moved his hand in line with the opposite leg. So instead of moulding, it went that way. Instead of the proper way, where everybody
time.
Behind him used to be out of bloody step, all cocked up. But other than that,
You hadn't done drill before, had you?
No, not. Well, I was in the boys' brigade and stuff like that, but wasn't that proper drill, no.
And did you see the point of drill at the time? Because you had to do a fair amount of it, I'd imagine. Did you know why you had to do so much when you were 18?
It's hard to say. Until, if you're talking to an NCO or somebody who was senior to you, like if you were sitting down in a naffy or something like that, and you're saying, what's the blooming else we're doing all this for and all that, and then they tell you, especially if you had a good drill sergeant or something like that, it puts your mind on concentrating on what you're doing or what you're told. You don't get sloppy, you know what I mean? So if later on anything that's serious and an instruction was called out quick enough, your mind was quick enough to pick it up and do what it was. I must admit there were some people that never got that. You know, they couldn't work out why they were doing it. It was still nothing to them. They didn't realise that in time it would save their life or something, you know, like that.
Did you get to enjoy it or did you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I signed on the 6 weeks initial time, you know.
Did you get to enjoy the drill?
So, yeah, oh yeah, it didn't bother me at all.
Now, what other training sessions? PT, would you do a lot of PT?
Marching, guns, you know, learning how to strip guns and certain things down.
Hang on, so PT, what would you do for PT?
Could be anything, normal exercise type of stuff or all the equipment that they had out, you know, the field stuff like hurdles, rivers, jumping, swinging, all that type of stuff.
Marches or cross-country running?
Oh, yeah, we had those 26 route marches with stuff on your back and all that, right across the places up at Yorkshire.
Do you think it made you fitter?
There's no doubt about it. It kept you fit, you know. But I must say, me and my mate, a weekend, we was never at home at weekends. We was always out camping or doing something, you know. We was always energetic that way.
You were fit anyway?
We wasn't silly people.
Now, what about weapons training? I mean, infantry weapons, because every soldier's taught to be a soldier first, aren't they? What about...
You had Bren gun training, Sten gun, and also pistol, because in the...
Not rifle, then?
Well, yeah, and rifle. The normal three and the pistol.
So tell me about them. How'd you do at them? Start with the rifle. How did the rifle training go?
Well, the first thing that you trained with a rifle is how to clean it and keep it clean. Because, as I said, if you don't keep it clean, it don't look after you. And that is a fact. But you learn to keep it clean. Regarding shooting, I was so good because I had such a long distance sight that I was offered to go to Bisley to be in the regimental target. So,
you think it was your good eyesight that made you such a good shot?
You've got to have a good. If you was close sight or near sighted, it wouldn't be no good, because when you line up for a target, you fire your first marker, and then you work it out after that which way the drift of the bullet, so you line up and put it in. But I mean, that's very important that your eyesight is 100%, otherwise it for long distance stuff, otherwise it's no good ever thinking that you're going to be any good at shooting.
And were you good right from the start, or?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What about the Bren?
The Bren was, it's a type of weapon that is, you hold it, point it and pull. Hold it, point it and pull, that's all you can do with a Bren. So you held it up, pointed at whatever, and pulled the trigger, and that was it.
Are you thinking of the Sten?
What?
Are you thinking of the Sten?
Sten gun?
Yeah, we're talking about the Bren.
The Bren gun? That was a different thing. That was a...
I thought... Talk about the Sten first, then. You said Bren, you see. I thought you meant Sten when you described it. So you don't just hold a Bren and point
well,
it. So tell me about the Sten.
The Sten gun is a double-action thing. You can either have it a fast or a single shot. Whichever one you want.
No, that's the Bren.
The Bren gun. Which one do you want first?
The Sten.
The Sten. Well, that's a pick up, hold it, and pull. And that's it. You point it and pull the trigger.
Did you realise how inaccurate it was and what short range it had at the time?
Well, you knew there was something. It wasn't like a 100%, what would you say, like the 100% usable, you know, for accurate killing or shooting. But you knew that there was enough stuff going out the end of it to spray whatever you wanted. That's all you really needed. You know, if you was in close combat with anybody and you turned quickly and pulled the trigger, one of the bullets has got to hit something, even if it's the milk bottles on somebody's front doorstep.
And did you know that it would go off if you dropped it, things like that? Did they tell you that?
Well, yeah. I mean, say if you behave stupidly with any weapon, whether it was a pistol or a rifle, if you dropped it wrong and it bounced and it was loaded, it will fire.
Now, what about the Bren gun? That's a light machine
gun. Now, the Bren gun is a different kettle of fish. It's a very accurate gun on a single shot. And if it's got a telescopic sighting, which you could also have on a rifle, but also that could spread out a fair bit of lead if you pulled it for fast firing. Very, very fast. And all. I mean, so you could clear a mag in a couple of seconds, sort of thing.
Did you like that? Were you a good shot on the Bren? I presume you were with your eyesight.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. I was fairly good on any armament for distance.
And what about stripping it down? Did you learn to strip it down?
Oh yeah, you have to do that. Strip it down, put it back together again in such a short time. I mean, say, I can't remember how good or quick I was. I know I was fairly quick because I took the trouble to learn about them, because that's the sort of thing you had to learn.
Now, what about the pistol? You learnt pistol as well.
Well, the pistol was a 38. That was mainly to shoot yourself. That's the only reason you had it in an armoured corps.
What do you mean? Can you just explain that?
Well, you see, in the armoured corps, if you was in a tank or something like that, or an armoured car closed in and you got hit, and it bursts out of fire, and you've got all the other ammunition around you, it's either you go up with it, or you burn, or you get rid of yourself as quick as you can. So you just add your pistol there to blow your own blood and brains out. And I dare say, during the wartime, and that, there's a lot of people done that, because there's no other way out, you see. You can't get out. In certain positions in a tank, you can't get out quick enough to save your life.
And they told you that's what it was for, did they? Or did you work that out?
Oh, no, no.